Pastor, I just want to start off by saying thank you to the pastor and Brother Shelton. I believe he's been communicating with me. I'm looking to see if I see him in here. I see him somewhere. Thank you and for the accommodations. And we've been traveling quite a bit since we got back in the States, and you guys have put us up in a very, very nice hotel, and we had a hot breakfast. Usually they're handing you a paper bag as you walk out the door with yesterday's leftovers or something else in it, but so we really appreciate that and enjoy that. It's a blessing to be here. I'll introduce my wife and son real quick since they're with me. I'll tell you more about our family tonight. And I actually, Pastor, you guys for many years supported the Kennys to Chile. They've retired, come off the field now. Remind me, I want to tell you something about their ministry and something very interesting. And I'll mention that just so you know where the investment you've been making in missions is going. But I have my wife and my son to stand up just quickly. This is Erica and Luke. As Pastor mentioned, we do have two other children, two daughters. Our oldest daughter is going to be going to college in the fall. She has started working to help pay her way through that because I told her that she needed to learn to trust the Lord for herself. And it was a time to take those steps of faith and not just depend on mom and dad. And so she had to work yesterday. She has to work tomorrow. So she's taking that very serious. And the other daughter, just out of abundance of precaution, stayed with grandparents because she hadn't been feeling very well. But again, we are excited to be here with you. We are the Smithies to Santiago, Chile. We've been there for 6 years. And I will tell you more about that in tonight's service. And we'll actually have a brief video about 3 minutes long that allow you to see some of the things that we've seen over the last 6 years and some interesting ways we've seen the Lord work and help us to reach people there, make disciples, and train young men and train young ladies for the Lord's work. But I want to invite you, if you would, please turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. When you get to chapter number 8, if you'll find verse number 26, begin reading there. And I'm going to read all the way through the chapter. We're going to look at a very familiar passage, but I hope I can encourage you this morning as we look at this passage to be thinking about someone specific in your life or be praying that God would put someone specific in your heart this morning that you can tell about Jesus this week. But I'd like to ask you as you find your place there, if you don't mind, just to pray with me and we'll begin. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for the opportunity to be here at Trinity Baptist Church and what a wonderful testimony the church has and just feel your presence and spirit already here this morning and to have an opportunity to share your word. I pray now you would bless the reading of your word, that you'd help me to communicate it clearly, that you would challenge our hearts and help us to have more faith, to trust you, to use us to do more and to furtherance of your kingdom. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 26, the Bible says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship." In verse number 28, it's speaking of the eunuch, and it says, he was returning and sitting in his chariot. He read Esaias the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to this chariot." And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. And so we look at this passage. It's probably a familiar passage to most of us here this morning. And we probably could take several different phrases and just focus on those. We could look at the phrase where Philip is with the eunuch, and he asked him if he understood what he read. And he said, how can I accept some man should guide me? Or we could go on down just a little further after Philip has explained the scriptures to the eunuch, and then it says, and he preached unto him Jesus. And we could touch on that, and we're going to touch on all of those, but I want us to start out, and it's just going to be a simple message walking through the passage, and we're going to see certain things in here where we can put ourselves in this story. And many of you probably already have, and if you haven't, I pray that before you take your last breath on this earth, you can put yourself in this story. But look at the first person that we see. It's the servant. It's Philip. The Bible says in verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south. Unto, it says there in verse number 26, toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, I can put myself in this story right here quite literally, because my family and I were serving on staff with Pastor Dan Reed at Harvest Baptist in Ackworth, Georgia, when God spoke to us about going into missions and gave us the command to arise and go and sent us to a literal desert place. As I was speaking with some of you out this morning in the foyer and showing you where Santiago is, we live in the desert. It's been 6 years since we've seen this much greenery and this many flowers and trees. We see cactus and we see dirt and we see rock, and that's about all we see. And when I first got there, I thought, man, this is the ugliest thing I've ever saw. Now I look at it, I think, man, look how pretty that is. It's just beautiful. You can see all the different shades of brown and the different types of cacti that are there. But quite literally, the Lord spoke to us as we were serving in a ministry and gave us the command to arise and go to another place. And we see in this passage, we look at Philip's life and we understand from the context of what's taking place, we understand from the context of the passages before it, that he's in the middle of seeing a great revival in this area. He and his friends have been preaching the gospel, and literally the Bible tells us thousands had been putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. There were people being added to the church daily. They were in the middle of a great work taking place. But yet God said, arise and go. He spoke to his servant. And when the Lord spoke to his servant, there was a choice the servant had to make. Obey or disobey. And look what it says in the very next verse, in verse 27. It says, and he arose and went. There's a lot of young people, I believe if I'm right, it was teenagers through adults that are in here with us this morning. Listen, young people, that's the challenge you'll have the rest of your life. Will you obey or disobey? The Christian life really isn't no more complicated than that. We make it more complicated, but your choice is always obey or disobey. And this man was, and he could have began reasoning with God. He could have been saying to the Lord, but Lord, there's so many great things that are taking place here where I'm at in Jerusalem, all around. We're preaching the gospel and thousands are being saved. God, I need to stay here and disciple these people. I need to stay here and help make sure these people grow in the Lord. Lord, I believe you could do more with me here than wherever it is you want to send me. He could have begun to reason with God. As a missionary, he could have done what a lot of missionaries do, as what a lot of young people do. But God, I had plans for my life. I was going to settle down here. I was going to make something of myself. I was going to chase a career. Lord, I had all of this worked out. But look what it says again in verse 27. And he arose and went. When the Lord spoke to the servant and said, arise and go, the Bible tells us that the servant arose and went. Listen, young people, I want you to understand, to delay is to disobey. If God speaks to your heart, whether it's this morning, whether it's tonight, whether it's when your pastor or youth pastor or someone else is speaking to you or shared a message or preaching and God speaks to you about something, if you delay, that is disobedience. Obedience is immediate. It doesn't mean that you're going to leave that very moment. There's going to be preparation. I began preparing to be a missionary 12 years, 13 years before I ever went to the mission field. But when I trusted Christ as my Savior, when I heard the gospel and I put my faith in Jesus Christ alone and I was baptized and I was discipled, I told the Lord, whatever you want for me, whatever you want for my life. And I had to take steps of faith all along the way, trusting the Lord, having to learn how to choose between the good things and the best things. Because for a Christian, there is no choice between good and bad. Because that choice was made for us when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. But it could be a good thing to stay right here and spend the rest of your life. But it might be the better or best thing to give your life to Christ and go to a foreign mission field and preach the gospel. That's where we wrestle between the good and the best. An obedient servant or a disobedient servant. But we see in this passage there was an obedient servant. He's our example. That's why I say I hope you can see as we go through this story, you can see yourself in this passage as an obedient servant, as someone who, regardless of what's going on in your life, regardless of what type of job or career or position you have, you're willing to obey the Lord when He speaks to your heart and rise and go as He gives you direction. You think, I just want to caution on young people. You don't have to have all that direction right now. Someone explained the will of God to me like this, and it stuck with me for almost 20 years now. When you get in your car at night and you turn the headlights on, you only see just a few feet in front of your car. But if you drive in the light that you have, you'll arrive at your destination safely. And that's the way the will of the Lord works. You just take steps of faith and do the things you know to do, and in 20 years from now, you know where you'll be? Right in the center of God's will. But if you try to drive home at night without the lights on, you may or may not make it there. If you try to live your life without steps of faith, doing the things you know to do on a daily basis, reading your Bible, praying, being faithful to your local church, serving in the ministries, bus ministry, soul winning, whatever ministries you have, you don't ever have to question what's God's will for my life. You'll be living it out. But you have to make that decision. And honestly, it's not just for young people. I've noticed as I'm starting to get a little older now, and I'm thankful in Chile you're considered a young person as long as you're younger than the person you're speaking to. So if you're speaking to someone that's 100 and you're 99, they call you a joven, which is teenager, young person. But as I get older, I realize that some of my contemporaries, some of my friends, they're starting to put it down in crews now. They're losing a little bit of vision to go after things the way we did when we first got out of Bible college, or the way we first got to the mission field. They're looking for an easier way to finish these things out. We've got to be obedient servants. That's the first thing we see in this passage. And we get to the end, we're going to see the results of our obedience. But when we look at this passage, the first thing we see is the servant of the Lord. He arose and he went. And look, as we continue to go down, and we're going to find out why the Lord sent him to a place. Because the next person we see in this passage is the sinner. You know, my family and I, we're called to be missionaries. But let me be completely transparent with you. What we're called to do is follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called unto Him. And as we follow Him, He directs our paths. Part of my life, that was a Bible college student who was working 60 and 70 hours a week and taking an 18-hour course load while supporting my family. Part of that of my life was being a youth pastor and working with young people. And then part of that journey and following the Lord was working with adult couples and other young couples. And my wife and I, we've worked in the nursery ministry to the nursing home ministry. But our call is to the Lord. It's to be with Him, and out of that He directs our life and our past and sends us. And for the last 6 years, we've had the opportunity to serve the Lord and follow Him on the mission field, doing the same thing we did in all the other places. But He didn't send us to a destination. He didn't send us to Santiago, Chile, just to go somewhere. As we look at this passage, and the Lord is very specific with Philip, and it tells him where to go, gives him direction, and sends him to a place. But it sends him to that place because there is a person that God intends for him to meet and share the gospel with. You've heard people talk about it and speak those divine appointments. God was set in a divine appointment for Philip. God was set in a divine appointment for the sinner, the eunuch. Neither one of them, independently of each other, had any idea that the other person existed. But God is always previous. God is always at work on the other side of our prayers. When we can't see it, He's working. He's dealing in people's hearts. He's dealing with your loved ones. He's dealing with your neighbors. He's dealing with your coworkers. He's dealing with your classmates. He's always working on the other side of our prayers. And we see this sinner that the Lord is directing His servant to. And he goes, and the servant is obedient, and he goes to this place. And as he's en route to the place that the Lord sends him, he runs into this sinner. And look at this sinner. One of the things we find out about him that's very interesting is we know by his ethnicity and where he grew up at or where he's from, the fact that it tells us that he's an Ethiopian. He comes from a part of the world during that time that was not Christian. It was pagan. So the fact that he had left this pagan country and pagan worship to go to Jerusalem, a good journey away to worship, tells us that he was seeking something. Now, we don't know, the Bible doesn't tell us, but more than likely, the testimony of the Lord of Israel, the God of Israel, had reached their land, and he wanted to know more about it. The fact that he's over all of the treasure, it says, of Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, tells us that more than likely, he was a moral man, a good man, someone that we might even think, well, that man probably doesn't need the gospel. He's a good guy. They're not going to put a thief knowingly over the treasure. They're not going to put someone guarding the treasure of the queen who they think is going to rob it and steal it and take it. So we know from that more than likely this was a good, morally decent man. But he's still seeking something. And that something that he was seeking was a someone. Look, as you continue to go through and you look at the passage, it tells us that he'd went there to worship and he was returning back in verse number 28. And it says, and he's sitting in his chariot, and he's reading the Bible. He's reading what we know as Isaiah 53, the prophecy of Christ's crucifixion and Christ's death. And as he's reading this passage, whatever the custom may have been, why I don't know why he was doing it. I don't know if it was his way of trying to work through what he was reading, but he was reading it out loud. You say, how do you know he's reading out loud? Because the Bible tells us Philip heard him and ran, and he joined himself to him. But here was this man who had went from his home country, a faraway land, all the way to Jerusalem for to worship, to find the truth. But the Bible tells us he left going back empty, still searching, still looking. You know why? Because while he was there in that church, I don't know what he heard. I don't know what they were teaching him. I don't know what they were sharing. But they weren't presenting to him the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is not something, it is someone. The Bible tells us, the Lord Himself speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so he went looking for something when he needed someone. And it's so sad. It happens here every day in America. But on the mission field, especially where we're at, where it's predominantly Catholic, so many people go in every day to a religious building and go through ritual after ritual after ritual looking for something, looking for some truth, trying to find some help. And they leave just like this eunuch, empty, because they never met someone. And so we see in this passage as we look, the sinner is also seeking a Savior. We see the servant who was obedient, And we see the Lord brings them together as we finish, go down through verse number 29. It says, and the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And then I notice what it says again. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Esaias and said, understandest thou what thou readest? So now we see the servant, we see the sinner, now we see the scripture. What does the Bible tell us about faith, about someone being saved? Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing what? The Word of God. And so in order for this man to be saved, I don't know, the eunuch evidently was a man of means because he had his own copy of Scripture. It was very difficult during this time to have that. Matter of fact, only a few places had a scroll. And they had to meet together and gather around that one scroll and have someone read and give interpretation. But he had his own. How he obtained it, we don't know. But he had it. In other words, even a lost man realized he needed the Word of God to find what he was looking for. The Bible is so important. That's why it's important for us to hold to the Bible as the Word of God and to defend it, which we actually don't have to defend. I believe it was Spurgeon said that the Bible is like a caged lion. Release it and it'll defend itself. If we would just preach more of what the Bible says, we would see more of the power of God in our lives and on our ministries. But this man understood and realized that he needed the Scriptures in order to find what he was looking for. He didn't need a program. He didn't need to take certain steps. He needed the Bible. He needed the Word of God. But not only did he need the Scriptures, he needed, remember back, he needed that servant. He needed someone to tell him about that somebody who wants to save him. He needed help. That's why Philip says as he's reading it, man, do you understand what you're reading? I mean, Philip hears out loud, he approaches himself, he gets close to him, and you can imagine the excitement in Philip as he's coming down that path and he hears that eunuch, and the Bible says he runs. Now, I don't know what the eunuch thought, but I mean, I would think today that if we were reading something out loud and we looked up and someone's running full speed ahead to us, we'd probably get a little bit nervous about what they're doing. We would be concerned. We would think they're either trying to rob us or something bad has happened. There's an emergency. They need help. Our minds would start wandering all over the place. But Philip was so excited. Why? Because he obeyed the Lord way back here. We don't know how long the journey was, but he obeyed the Lord when the Lord said, arise and go. And he saw the eunuch, so he ran to him. And he was able to see the fulfillment of his obedience. And there's no doubt he thought in his mind, God, why are you calling me from this great revival? Why are you sending me down this dirt road to this desert place? And then he looks up and he sees the eunuch and clicks. That's why. That man needs the gospel. That man needs to know Jesus Christ. And he runs to him. He joins himself to him. And he sits down and he begins to read the scriptures with him. Why? Because even Philip understands that this man needs to understand what the Bible says in order to be saved. It's not turning over a new leaf. Salvation isn't just deciding that I'm going to do better. It's completely putting our faith and trust in the finished work of Calvary, what Jesus Christ has done. And he understood that. And he began to share with this man the scriptures. But notice the next thing that we see as he shares the scriptures with him, as we keep going through here, because in verse number 35, it says, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. So you have the servant, you have the sinner, you have the scriptures, and now we have the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The servant heard the call. He accepted the call to arise and go. He arose and he went. And as he was going, the Lord was dealing on this sinner's heart over here on the other side of things. And the sinner is sitting there and he's reading the scriptures and he's trying to understand what he's reading and what's taking place and what's going on. And the Lord brings the two of them together. Why? So that the servant can take the scripture and introduce the sinner to our Savior. It's really that simple. I mean, we try to complicate soul winning. We try to complicate the Christian life. But what the Lord is trying to do today is what He did in this person's life. There are sinners. I don't know this town. I don't know its makeup. I don't know anything about it. But I do know this. There's a room full of servants in here this morning. And there's a town full of sinners out there today. And the Lord is still calling. He is still speaking to us. I'm not talking. Philip's not a missionary. He's not a pastor. He's what we call in Spanish a laico, a layman. He is just someone who knew the Lord and wanted to give his life in obedience to whatever God wanted him to do. And when the Lord put something on his heart, he obeyed immediately. And because of that, he was able to arrive at this place to share the gospel with someone. How many times in our week do we have things not go our way? How many times do our schedules get rerouted? How many times do we miss a turn? How many times do we have to make an unexpected stop? How many times does something break down or tear up and we have to go somewhere? So many inconveniences for us, we think. And I am the world's worst for this. My wife and my son are here. I am, let's get it done and move on to the next thing. That's just my mentality. I don't enjoy anything. It's a burden. It really is, because I'm always thinking, how can we do that better next time? When we get on the road, my wife and I'll drive 8 hours straight just to get home whenever we need to get home and not stop. If you give me a gas tank, it'd go for 24 hours. I'd drive straight for 24 hours. But all those inconveniences could be divine appointments. And so many of them we miss because of our attitude. God, why are you letting this happen? Well, maybe it's because the Lord wanted you to speak to that person that you had to go in and speak to about that repair that you needed and share the gospel with him. Maybe the Lord let you make that unexpected trip to the ER because there's another family there that He wanted you to give a track to and invite them to be at church with you this week and let them know that if they need anything, that this church is a church that's willing to help them, to love on them, to pray with them. I don't know, but I know this. There's a room full of Philips, servants. There's a world full of eunuchs, sinners, who need us to take the Scriptures and introduce them to our Savior. Notice the last thing we want to look at this as we come to a close. Here's why all of that's important. Here's why it's important that us, that we as servants are obedient to follow the Lord in the direction that He gives us in our life so that we can meet sinners and share with them the Scriptures, introduce them to our Savior. Look what it says at the end of this. And it says in verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?' And Philip said, 'If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest.' And he answered and said, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Now we see salvation. So here, with this story, we have the full process. We have an obedient servant telling a sinner what the Bible says about Jesus so that they can know our Savior and be saved. You have the servant. You have the sinner. You have Scriptures, the Savior, and the salvation. How do you know he was saved? Well, it says here in verse number 37, he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And in verse number 38, and he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went them both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, notice what it says, "The Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." Evidence. Evidence of salvation. There is evidence. The first evidence that we see was this eunuch's desire to obey the Lord. He wanted to be baptized. Now, we don't have the whole story and what Philip shared with him and how far he went with him, but we know enough that what the Bible gives us, that the man believed and trusted on Jesus Christ as the Son of God and knew that as a representation of that belief, he should be baptized. And he desired to be baptized. Why? Because he wanted to be obedient. He desired to obey. And then it says he rejoiced. Why was he rejoicing? Well, he just met the Savior. He'd left this faraway land and went to another place looking to meet the Savior, wasn't able to find what he was looking for there, had to leave that place and was headed back home empty, still searching, still confused. But now he didn't know a truth, he knew the truth, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice what and this is very unique about this story. Pastor, I don't know if you sometimes try to put yourself in the story, but I like to try to think through these things, these situations. I mean, and I'm thinking through this last part where it says, and when when they were come up out of the water, and there's some good teaching there to instruct us about biblical baptism and going down into the water. And it's just a great example there, but it says, and when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. And I'm going to close with this, because I'm thinking of myself in this passage as we're going through this, and I'm thinking about, here's the servant, here's Philip. He's obeyed the Lord. He's left all this great things happening. And we can relate to that, Pastor. We were serving, when we went to Harvest Baptist Church in 2009, we were running about 280 people, and the pastor had asked me to take over a school that was, he was afraid was about to go bankrupt, and had lost 50% of its student body. And I had never been a Christian school administrator. So we went in, following the Lord, and we saw the Lord work in our lives and work in the church. And over that three-year period, in just a short three-year period, we doubled our enrollment in this Christian school. We were operating in the black. The church wasn't has to subsidize anything for the Christian school. Matter of fact, the Christian school was starting to pay not only its part, but help and work in certain areas in the church. The church itself had grew to over 400 people. We were, my wife and I, working in a college and career class. We started out with a couple of our teachers, two or three, Becca, and there's like five, I think it was. And so when we left, there's around 30, and we had another couple that we were working with that we left to work with them. I mean, we had a nice home. We had the nicest house we've ever had in our life. We had nice cars. The church gave me a good salary. They took care of our insurance. We were well taken care of. We had arrived in the ministry. And in the middle of that, God said, I want you to go do something else. I got something different for you than this. I've got more for you. And I'm thinking, more? How can you have any more than this? I mean, we're serving the Lord. We're working in full-time Christian service. Everything's great. But we had to make a decision. And we did. And we obeyed the Lord. And we've seen literally hundreds of people saved and baptized and discipled because of it. And I want to tell you, there was a servant who obeyed to go find the sinner that God was already working on his heart to take the scriptures, introduce him to the Savior so that he could be saved. I'm going to close with this story. There's a lady named Anita. Her and her family are in the first church that we worked with to plant when we got to Chile. When we arrived in 2015, we had to go through language school. And during that time, we worked with a veteran missionary who had just started, they had one service. So we'd started, hit the ground running with them working at a church. And we were starting language school, and I think maybe a month, 2 months into language school, barely enough to even realize how hard it was going to be to try to learn another language at this point in life. And we were on our way home, and I was mad. Like I was telling you, I'm an impatient person, and the Lord has helped me. I've grown. I have to just trust the Lord with things, but internally, I'm still, Lord, you got to help me with this. I'd not done well, and I want to do well. I thought I honestly had set out with all intentions to go through language school and make 100 on every quiz and exam that we had to take. That was what I set out. That was my goal, perfection, and I was going to do it. And the first two were so easy that I think we missed maybe one or two questions each. I mean, we were pretty close to perfection. It wasn't perfection, but it was pretty good. So my expectations stayed up there. Well, the teacher began to get a little bit more strenuous in their grading. And I had done well to work on conjugating verbs, how to speak and say things. But I had not given any attention to spelling. And so all the tests are written. So although I understood the concepts, although I was conjugating the verb correctly or choosing the right thing to say, I was misspelling things like crazy. And in Spanish, that's really important because you can change, you can take a, talking about changing the word of God, when you take tildes away, people, well, that's not important. Let me tell you something. You take a tilde away from a word, you change what the word is completely. It's a lot more important than you think. Try learning a second language and you'll understand. But I had done very poorly in the spelling. And he had told me, I'm like a 70 on that particular thing, which is like the bare minimum you can make and go on to the next level or the next class. And the instructor, the person who was overseeing our work, said, I'm going to let this go this week, but if you do this bad anymore, you're going to have to repeat the week. Now, to somebody who already has set a goal out to make 100 on every one, telling me I was going to have to repeat something, especially when it wasn't because I said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing, I just misspelled it. I'm like, I'm telling, man, I'm not going to go out on the street with a pen and paper. Can I share the gospel with you and try to write that? You know, I'm going to be talking to people. He's like, I don't care. You're going to be writing. You're going to be teaching a seminary. You need to learn how to spell correctly. I'm like, oh, whatever. So I set out to work, but I was ill. I was mad, and I told my wife, we're going to go straight home. I don't want to talk to nobody today. I normally, she'll tell you, after every class, I usually would help her go and get our children from the school they were going to, and then they would go home, and she'd spend the afternoon with them, helping them with school, taking care of her home. And I would go out with some Chilean guys. I would go out on the streets. I'd go out and find somebody to talk to, even though I couldn't speak with them. I would just go out and try to learn the language and practice. That day, I said, we're going straight home. And she said, well, I need to go to the grocery store. All right, well, we'll stop by the grocery store. You go and get what you want as fast as you can. Get back out here and let's go. I don't want to deal with nobody. Well, I'm somebody who gets a haircut about every 2 weeks. And we'd been in the country now close to 3 months. And I hadn't had my hair cut for about a month or two before we left because of all the packing and stuff. So I'm going on about 4 months without a haircut. And I was going nuts. But I was so scared because I could not communicate. I couldn't speak Spanish to let anybody cut my hair. So I was like, well, I got to do something. And so that day, while I'm sitting there waiting on her to come out, I see a sign, and I thought it said barber. Now, I understand what the word is for in Spanish now, and it was the Spanish word, but I thought it said barber, just barber. I'm like, well, I know what a barber is. That's where. So let me go in here and see if I can get a haircut. I stuck my head in the door, and I couldn't speak enough Spanish, so I just asked, by chance, does anyone in here speak English? And Anita was there. Anita is the owner of this. It was a ladies' beauty salon. I don't know why they had barber on the thing, but it was a ladies' beauty salon. And she said, yes, I do. Almost as well as I speak English. And I thought, oh, praise the Lord, I can at least get a haircut today. And so I sat down and I began to tell her while my wife was shopping, why we were there. And she says to me, almost in tears, I've been praying for God to send me somebody to help me understand what the Bible said. I was born in a Catholic home, grew up Pentecostal, and I'm currently studying the Bible with, Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses? I'm currently studying the Bible with Jehovah's Witnesses. And I want to know the truth. And as I read my Bible with these people, something just isn't right. I said, well, let me tell you what, about 5 minutes from here, we started a brand new church. We can help you with that. And then Erica comes in, and I introduce Erica to her, and they began to speak and become friends. Her home was in shambles. Thus, she was about to divorce. Her children were not doing so great. Now, her family's together. Her daughters have been saved and baptized. Her husband's been saved and baptized. They're currently, after 6 years, still active members in a local New Testament church. They've brought more visitors to that church than any other couple, any other worker, any other missionary. Because a servant obeyed and went to a place where the Lord is already working on the other side in a sinner's heart, took the scriptures, told them about our Savior, and now their family's saved. I want to introduce you to our ministry. That's what we do. As missionaries, that's what we do. Amen. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We want to finish with prayer. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I thank you for this wonderful illustration that we have of what you want to do in our lives. And I pray that each and every person here, as they've listened to this message and as they think of someone, that they'd be obedient to you throughout the week as you bring people to our hearts and our minds, as you change our course and direct our paths. I pray you help us to look for these divine appointments that you're setting up for us along the way. And help us to be obedient. Help us to be servants who are seeking sinners and taking the scriptures, introducing them to our Savior, that they might be saved. We pray and ask all these things in Christ's name.